It's the final few seconds of the 1980s. U2 fans across Ireland, Britain and mainland Europe have the radio switched on, cassette tapes loaded and fingers hovering over the record button.
Buon decennio di bei fan in questo DJ di 2FM.
All ears are on the Dublin Docklands area, where U2 are about to play the fourth and final gig at the Point Depot on their Lovetown tour. They may be one of the biggest rock bands in the world, but the Dubliners have reached a crossroads. Stung by criticism of their latest album, Rattle and Hum, exhausted after a decade on the road, it's time for a rethink.
Forget about the past. We're going to celebrate the future.
The New Year's Eve bash went on to become one of the group's most heavily bootlegged shows ever. But it was Bono's declaration at the previous night's gig that has become the stuff of U2 legends.
I was explaining to people the other night, but I might have got it a bit wrong. This is just the end of something for U2. And that's why we're playing these concerts. And we're throwing a party for ourselves and you. It's no big deal, just we have to go away and just dream it all up again.
In search of inspiration and keen to reinvent themselves, U2 soon retreated from the limelight and decamped to a city that itself was having to dream it all up again.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings. Reporting tonight from Berlin.
Tonight in Berlin, it is Freedom Night.
Dumar is weg.
Which means the end of the war.
The chant as thousands stepped into the West for the first time in their lives.
The East German government said tonight they were going to make more openings in the wall, at least a dozen more, put bulldozers right through the wall so that more people could cross to the west.
One of the first crossing points opened by border guards on November 9th, 1989, was at Potsdamer Platz. What had once been Europe's busiest interchange became nothing more than a flattened wasteland next to the wall during the Cold War years. It's not a place you'd expect to find one of the great music rooms, but stranded in this no man's land between the communist East and capitalist West stood the world famous Hansa Studios.
Hansa by the Wall, oftewel de Berlijnse Hansa Studios. Legendarisch vanwege de opname.
We are right now in the Meistersaal, which is former Studio 2 of Hansa, the historic most famous part here in the house. And it got a additional name like Hansa by the Wall or the Studios by the Wall or the Big Hall by the Wall.
Meet Thilo Schmid.
I'm the owner of Berlin Music Tours, which is a company I run, meanwhile, 14 years or something, and show the people during their tours the music history or the present scene of the city with many artists that have been here or are currently here to, for instance, record at Hansa Studios.
Thilo is giving me the guided tour around Hansa.
Imagine how many people were in this room to work on all these kinds of music. Sometimes it's more and sometimes it's less that you can really feel something in the room. I don't want to sound pathetic, but it's sometimes it's really I'm here and I listen to some music or when we play or talk about it and it's like, wow, you get a shiver in a way. It's a special room, definitely.
Built as a concert hall in 1910, Studio 2 is anything but a normal recording space. The 7 meter high wooden ceiling, polished herringbone floor and velvet curtains cast a regal glow, while the wide open acoustics give the room a unique sound captured on some of the best music recorded over the last 40 years.
If you want to name some songs or like the big name song, it's of course Lust for Life, it's The Passenger, so the Iggy stuff. It is Nick Cave's work, a lot of Nick Cave when he started with the Bad Seeds in 84.
Achtung!
And Marillion, Lavender, Keely, Killing Joke, Nighttime Album, Love Like Blood. Sushi and the Banshees, The Pixies, Crime at the City Solution. And it's a list really of over 1,000 artists that produced here on several thousand productions.
You work a lot in Berlin, don't you, with your recording?
We have done in the past.
You like Berlin, do you? Is it...
Yeah, I mean, the main reason we were there is just because we found a kind of ideal studio for what we needed.
I forgot Depeche Mode. How can I do that? People are people, so why should it be?
You and I should get along, so artists like Depeche Mode, Nick Cave and Iggy Pop didn't just come to Hansa to record. They came to forge new sounds and identities. The legend of Hansa, and more importantly, of Berlin attracting musical talent from around the world and allowing those artists to shed their past and recreate something new, begins in 1976 with the arrival of this man.
Hi, I'm David Bowie.
Bowie had already discarded a multitude of personas, including Major Tom, Ziggy Stardust and Aladdin Sane, by the time he landed in LA in the mid-70s. Within a few months of living on the West Coast, his life had descended into cocaine-fueled chaos.
LA was affecting me too much, in as much that I thought my sanity was at a breaking point. I was really doing myself a disservice living there.
In an effort to haul himself back from the edge and ready to start the next chapter in his musical evolution, he headed for Europe.
As I was leaving America, I knew I had to get to an environment that was totally different to Los Angeles. So I thought of the most arduous city that I could think of, and it was West Berlin.
In a city that's well-versed in the art of reinvention, Bowie ditched the alter egos and remade himself an ordinary man.
It's a city where I can be very anonymous in, because they don't give a nothing. They don't give an FA about who you are in Berlin. It doesn't, you know, the trappings of rock and roll don't mean anything there. Mm-hmm. So I could walk around, buy my own food and catch up on how you actually go about living as, you know, one condensed, solid personality.
Cut off from the rest of the world, along with flatmate Iggy Pop, collaborator Brian Eno and producer Tony Visconti, Bowie set up camp at Hansa and produced some of the most influential and innovative music of his career, including one song that would become the unofficial anthem of the city.
The beginning of everything, in a way, is Heroes. And maybe also the end.
The Berlin that U2 arrived into on the 3rd of October, 1990, was a very different city to the one their hero sung about 13 years earlier.
Good morning from Berlin. It's 7 o'clock on Wednesday, the 3rd of October. This morning, Germany is one nation again.
The band booked Hansa hoping to capture some of the magic of Studio 2.
We were looking for a big room, which would just be great to play in, and we wanted to, you know, do the records like they used to, just sitting around in a circle and playing the songs.
And it was in that grand ballroom where a band teetering on the brink of collapse reunited to capture the spirit of the past and create a song that would kickstart the next chapter in the U2 story. Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? The likes of U2 and David Bowie drew great inspiration from Berlin, but we're not here to relive its past pop glories. The once abandoned city has yet again been rebuilt and reborn, complete with skyscrapers, corporate office buildings and a sprawling government sector. Despite the changes, the city remains as inviting as ever for musicians, and today, with a little help from the local rail network, I'm going in search of some Irish musicians who have made Berlin their home to find out how they're adapting to life in their adopted city.
At the first trip, please validate the ticket. And from that moment on, you have 48 hours, all public transports in AB, that's all over the town.
Eingefahrener Zug auf Gleis 11, S1 nach Wannsee, über Potsdamer Platz.
Had to get the train from Potsdamer Platz.
We're not interested in making loads of money. As long as we're paying the bills, we're happy that we can just make records and travel the world.
Just the vastness of it, I feel, is kind of inspiring, because it feels there's something to go out and discover or create, you know, the potential.
Spaß, vor allem wenn man noch gute Musik dabei hat, denn Wallace Bird ist hier.
was just decided where else would I be. I walked into a couple of apartments and it was wooden floors, 4 meter high ceilings, lots of daylight, like a Georgian style house. And there was a piano in there, an upright piano in there. And I just looked at it and went, this is the kind of environment I want to have, you know. The sounds of the rooms creaking and being able to play music as loud as you want in your house, within reason.
The voice of Wallace Bird. She's been living in Berlin since
September 2012.
Waited all my life for this, the moon and the sun.
It's old and falling apart and it's poor and it's dirty, but it has passion, and that was a huge draw for me. And of the graffiti everywhere, it seemed like everybody had a voice and wanted to be heard, and there was just some inner drive to be expressive. So I was mad to get here, yeah.
After a number of years living in London, the Wexford singer decided to hit the stop sign and escape to Berlin in search of inspiration.
I had absolutely run dry of the place because it didn't have what Berlin has, which is the free time to daydream, because you had to work two jobs to pay your rent because the rent was too high, example, you know, and that just kills creativity. So by the time I got to Berlin, I was ready to experience anything that London wasn't offering me. And I just exploded when I moved here. The first year, I spent a lot of time clubbing and getting lost in that scene, you know, because you're like, wow, it's just never ending here. I can meet people from all walks of life in a nightclub and we can stay here for 3 days. You know, it was just so free. You know, you go to a club and you're naked and you're talking to naked people, and it's just so basic and free, you know, loud music, no clothes, and just dance. It's just liberated, and it's not thinking too hard about something.
I cannot lie.
For the last 2 years that I was living in London, I realised that I wasn't writing anything. So the vibe of Berlin just drew out something, that this poison that had needed to be there, and you know, and it just came in, and I felt the weight lifted off my shoulder, and I just began to flow creatively. It was just an outpouring. And since I'm here, I've been just extremely prolific. I've written 4 releases that since I'm here, and I continue to write for people, and I never get tired. I never get tired in this city. All I have to do is like walk downstairs and, you know, go out and buy a carton of milk and come back 2 days later and have experienced something really different. And also, I'm really open to that. I'm really open to what this city's going to show me.
This is Dubliner Craig Walker.
The heartbeat of this city really is a techno beat.
This is the rat and used to self-destruct if you so desire.
Over the last couple of years, he's worked closely with some of Berlin's biggest electronic acts, which isn't bad for a guy who started out as an indie kid on the Dublin music scene in the late 80s.
The current one from Power of Dreams, they're playing tonight at McGonagall's in Dublin, and Craig Walker from the band is here with me. Craig, how you doing?
He was only a teenager when he made his first trip to Berlin with his band Power of Dreams when they were touring the world with The Mission back in 1990.
What's this about The Mission? You're going on tour with them?
Yeah, we're
too.
Heading off now next week, actually, off the Marquee. We're heading off to do practically 2 months with The Mission.
I think the wall had only been down six, nine months. It was pretty wild. It's like nothing we'd ever seen before. Like these 18-year-old Dublin lads completely like blown away by what was going on.
Fast forward 25 years, and after 2 decades living in London, Craig was back home in Dublin and ready to embark on a new adventure as a mature student in DCU when everything changed.
Yeah, it's amazing what a song can do, isn't it? You know, it can really, really change your life.
The song in question is called Fade Out Lines and was written by Craig and Phoebe Kildare in a hotel room in Paris in 2009.
It's everywhere I look, from Las Vegas to right here.
The duo recorded the song, but it didn't exactly set the world on fire until...
I got a phone call to say that this guy had done a remix and that it looked like it was going to blow up. And then a week later, I was told it was number one in Germany. I said, what? The shallower it grows, the shallower it grows, the fainter we go into the deeper down. If we build all those bridges, don't watch them. It was number one everywhere, and it was like, it was amazing. It was like totally unexpected. And really, just, it came right at the right time for both me and Phoebe, because we're not 20-year-olds. And, you know, the doors start to close as you get older and the opportunities become less and less. BMG came in then, and their headquarters is in Berlin, and they signed me and Phoebe to a publishing deal. It was a total game changer. It's gone from chasing after people, not getting replies, and then suddenly everything was on and everybody wants to talk to you and everybody wants to meet you. So yeah, my favorite song ever.
With 100 million plays on Spotify and 42 million hits on YouTube, it's no surprise to hear that Craig ditched the DCU idea, packed his bags and headed for Berlin, where he's now an artist in residence at Riverside Studios.
All of these rooms that you're walking by are studios, various sizes. As you can see, it's opposite the Mercedes-Benz Arena and it's on the river. Crawling up the walls in the belly of the beast. All around this area you'll find there's a lot of studio complexes like this, where you've got like 15, 20 producers in the one building, which is amazing because you can talk about music, talk about ideas, trade ideas, collaborations, which is something I've always wanted to be part of, you know, and eventually found it here. I think Dublin could really do with places like this though, or Ireland, because the benefits of it are massive, you know. There's something about putting creative people together in the one building, doing their own thing, that it's inevitable that they'll start working together and learning from each other. I've worked with nearly everybody in the building, like Bukashay, that did the record with last year. It's always the way when artists meet each other, it's the best way to get things done. Once you cut out the middleman and the management and all that bullshit.
That spirit of sharing ideas is very much at the heart of Craig's latest collaborative project with Phoebe Kildare, Them There. Photos of me on a beach
without you, happy. We've almost finished the record, really happy with it. Victor Van Voos produced, great producer Victor. He did PJ Harvey, Nick Cave. He worked with Depeche Mode. He's worked with loads of great people that we love as well.
Apart from Victor on production, Craig has pulled together a pretty impressive cast of international artists from the Berlin expat community.
You do something for them, they do something for you, which is a good attitude. And I think it's all that productivity of Germany, isn't it? They're very productivity driven.
Including Tyler Pope from LCD Sound System, Tim Gain of Stereolab fame, and Knox Chandler.
Are you a fan of REM? You know, Automatic for the People. Sweetness follows the very beginning. That's Knox on the cello. Even without money, if you come to Berlin with no money after 6 months, you'll probably find a way to get your stuff done, either free or cheap, if you've got a talent. If you've got something to offer, Berlin is always very welcoming.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're very welcome to Berlin, where the local time here is 10 o'clock. For your safety, please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened until the...
How much is an egg?
Wie viel kostet einen Eier?
Practicing her German here is Julie Hawk.
The reason that I'm buying one egg at a time takes me on to one of my favourite things about Berlin. It's the amount of Turkish bakeries that are around the place. Wonderful Turkish bakeries that make the most beautiful food and have the most wonderful, vibrant staff. There's a place very near my work where you can buy a single boiled egg for 30 cents. And it's turned into one of my morning rituals. On the way to work, I'll pick up one of these eggs and I'll be like counting my change and trying to remember how to speak to them as I do.
Julie moved from Galway to London in her early 20s, and after a number of years playing on the open mic scene, she formed Hawk in 2014. Similar to Wallace Bird, juggling day jobs with touring, writing music, running a label and organising gigs as rents rocketed and wages stagnated, eventually took its toll.
I think one of the things that led to us moving to Berlin in the first place was just this feeling of burnout. We'd never been happier with the music we were making, but the actual return that you're getting back from all that work, it can be really hard to see that sometimes in London, in a place where you're working so much and you're often quite broke. And it was kind of this amazing blessing that we were all in very different places, but at the same time, for different reasons, wanted to get out of London for personal, like, relationship reasons and, you know, just very much industry reasons as well. We wanted to try out a new scene. But I think it's been one of the best things we've ever done, moving here. Like, after really discovering our sound and trying to make it work in a place that's that competitive, and then taking something we were so proud of and relocating together to a different scene, really made us see everything that we'd accomplished, and it re-energized us.
And it's not just music that Julie has reconnected with since the move.
One of the biggest changes in my life over the last year and a half is I got back into illustration. I've started my own illustration project based around female-fronted artists who have influenced me, and I ask other women to write to me about female artists who have inspired them, and I take their words and I draw something inspired by that. And I have found the two things, like this space to go out and hear music again, and really having a project that made me think about why I loved music, has done an absolute 180 on my appreciation for music again. Both my own and other artists. I'm a proper music fan again.
By the way, that illustration project is called Female Fronted, Drawn Together.
Turning now to news of the latest escapes to West Berlin.
Another band of exiles currently establishing themselves on the Berlin indie scene are Party Fears.
I think other cities actually could take a leaf out of Berlin's book.
Meet Maggie Devlin.
I'm the singer and guitarist, and I also run an art and music collective called Bang On.
From Cookstown, Maggie started Party Fears as a solo project just down the road in South Korea.
I was living in Seoul, and I was in two bands there, and one of them started to enjoy a little bit of success. We got a deal, but we sort of started to realize that the ceiling was quite low. In Korea, as a foreign band, you can only ever kind of take that so far. And so I really started to think about music as maybe a more serious choice. And so I started looking at locations to take it to. And I looked at New York and London, Berlin, and largely because of money, I chose Berlin. I know that's not a very sexy answer, but that's the truth. On balance, Berlin kind of offered everything that the other cities did, but it was also more feasible in terms of being a DIY musician. If we want somewhere to go, we can hide or run all the places
I'll never know. After spells living in different cities around the world, surely getting settled in Berlin was plain sailing for Maggie.
No. It was tremendously hard work. It was so hard. Finding an apartment is hard. Finding a job is hard. Getting any kind of roots in the ground is hard. Even you have to go and get registered, and to do that, it takes months. So actually embedding yourself in Berlin, I found exceedingly difficult. Saying that, when you do start to get the hooks in, the possibilities open up exponentially, I would say. Like, we launched a tour from here. I never could have done that from Korea, where I was much more stable. We started this Bang On collective, which again, I don't think would have been as easy in, say, Belfast where I lived, or Glasgow. So I think when you do start to get footholds in Berlin, it becomes more and more forgiving. It's very forgiving of people who are willing to put the time in, I think.
Party Fears and Hawk have been doing just that since relocating to the German capital, with both bands releasing a string of singles and albums over the past 18 months.
We've actually written a lot more jumpy, upbeat tracks, really just getting to the point. And I think we've all felt that we can express ourselves much more confidently about stuff that's upsetting us in the world, stuff that we want to write about, because we don't tend to write songs about stuff that we think is great. We tend to write about stuff that we'd like to see changed. And I guess the kind of conversations you have here are conducive to being more forthright about those views. And also there's just a great punk scene, which I've fallen kind of back in love with.
This is punk rock Berlin.
That punk scene can be traced back to the underground clubs and squats of the Wild West Berlin of the 1980s. If the arrival of David Bowie was something of a turning point for the city in the late 70s, then the subcultural scene that emerged the following decade stamped an imprint on the city that remains today.
The do-it-yourself aesthetic is still very much Berlin and has infiltrated even the business world. The idea of Berlin as being startup capital of the world, for example. This idea that, you know, in Berlin it's a place where there's imagination, not just for art, but also for business as well. I mean, Berlin has capitalized on this.
In 1985, at the height of Reagan's America...
I regret to say that we're in the worst economic mess since the Great Depression.
Writer and journalist Paul Hockenast arrived into Berlin by train. 33 years later, he's still here.
It was a much darker place than Berlin is today. There was this claustrophobic feeling of being inside the walled city. I mean, in Berlin, you felt that you were the one walled in, not those over in East Germany.
Don't be afraid, no, no, no. You're right, Berlin by night.
Punk may have taken a little longer to land in Berlin compared to New York and London, but when it did, its brash sound, DIY attitude, and in-your-face style shook up the city's creative scene like nowhere else.
Punk was a break from this hippie 70s, which had, you know, embedded itself in West Berlin, and which some people, younger people in particular, you know, were trying to break away from. The bell bottoms and the beards and the roll your own cigarettes and the macho male superstars of the rock world were as present in West Germany as they were in anywhere else. This was an incredible feeling of freedom, of starting from anew, that anything was possible. And Berlin was also a low-budget city. It didn't have a lot of record companies or producers or anything like that. So the bands, including the Einstürzende and the Neubauten, you know, they produced and made all their own first cassettes and then records. The Einstürzende and Neubauten made their own instruments. You know, they even threw out the traditional instruments of the big rock bands. You know, and turned anything, construction site materials and rocks and into their instruments. And so the West Berliners wore this badge of amateurism very proudly. They called themselves even the brilliant dilettantes. None of them had backgrounds in music, and yet this is what basically formed the background of the 1980s scene.
Good afternoon from Berlin. In just 3 days, the world has seen the city transformed from one divided by a cruel wall to one where its citizens from both east and west may come and go as they please.
When the wall did eventually fall, the anarchic energy and defiant spirit of punk lived on as subcultures from both east and west collided in the ruins, and abandoned buildings, barracks and bunkers were transformed into clubs, and a new musical movement took root.
Hello?
Hi, Brendan, it's Carl here.
Hey, how's it going? Come all the way up to the top, okay?
Thank you.
Next up, Kreuzberg, and the home of Cork producer Brendan Gregory.
I make music as Chimera, and I also make ambient music as Marin Karas.
Brendan is giving me the guided tour around his home studio.
Let me get that.
This is my new favourite, yeah. This Prophet 6.
And this is where he produces all his music.
I think pretty much everything that I've had has just started with me hearing at home, probably just doodling away on something else and then suddenly just getting this like kind of eureka or just getting a vibe, even as much as just listening, maybe browsing through YouTube or something and listening to some kind of classic 90s house track. One of the first tracks that I made when I came to Berlin called Curl was released on Dirt Crew. It's a piano house track. And that just started, I just was listening to a 90s piano house track. And in melody and vibe, or sorry, melody it was different, but like in vibe, a piano house track is a piano house track. So I just went there and that instantly kind of just threw me into that zone. And as soon as you start messing around with some piano and then put like a 909 kick drum underneath it, you've got an instant like piano house track.
The clubbing scene, started by a bunch of misfits in the early 90s, has transformed Berlin into Europe's party capital. Ravers jet in looking for a last weekend in the city's never-ending nightclubs.
There's no such thing as a typical night. And it depends which club that you go to. Like a lot of the clubs that you get here have their kind of like fervent kind of fan bases. Obviously the big one is Berghain and Panorama Bar. And they're, okay, downstairs in Berghain, which is the techno room, it is pretty intense at times. It's like full on.
While DJs and producers are drawn to Berlin for its energy, opportunities, and the all-important affordable living. After spells living in Dublin and Barcelona, Brendan set up shop here in 2008.
I definitely noticed when I moved to Spain first that my music got a little bit more housey, maybe. It was kind of the summery kind of vibe that was there. And that continued when I moved to Berlin first. I was making a lot more kind of house in the first year or two that I moved here. And in the last couple of years, I've been swung back much more towards techno. I've been making techno, but at the same time also making ambient. Maybe ambient kind of grew out. That was not necessarily a Berlin sound, but Berlin itself influenced that because I made my last album as Marin Karas over the course of two winters here in Berlin, which were like epically long and grey and grim. So that was a factor in making that music.
As well as experimenting with the music he creates, Brendan has also had to make some adjustments to his live show.
The kind of sets that you play in Berlin clubs are different. They kind of, they peak and trough in different ways. In Ireland, we've got such strict licensing laws, you know, everything shuts down at, 2:33. And the sets kind of reflect that as well. You only get to play for between like an hour and 2 hours. And you tend to keep things like very kind of intense for that short amount of time. But you can't really do that in clubs where you can play for, I mean, if you're DJing, DJs can play up to like, 7 or 8 hours sometimes. I mean, the minimum set would be about 3 hours or so. And it makes you play in a different way from what you're used to, you know? So that's something that you have to contend with.
Tiernan McMurrow is part of a new wave of producers taking hold of Berlin.
I had just turned 20. So yeah, we were young, very young. Berlin, but I feel like there's no concept of age in Berlin. I think everyone's like Peter Pan.
He formed Brehm and Hamo in 2014 with Connor Hamilton, and the duo moved to the German capital the following year.
In Berlin, you're going out every weekend seeing these amazing clubs, amazing DJs playing, and you're just completely surrounded by music. So you're walking down the street, there's record stores everywhere, so you've no option but to be motivated to make music and to keep DJing and looking for music. You're completely thrown into the deep end compared to Sligo, where you're kind of building your own scene and trying to get people into it, where here you're just drowned by it.
which is great.
The Sligo pair have since been making a name for themselves through their live sets and a slew of well-received releases, like their current one, named after a former Irish soccer captain.
There's a sample in it by a group called the Keane Brothers, so we just thought we'd call it Roy Keane instead. A lot of people have been finding it funny.
I've never heard so much rubbish in my life. Why do we have to listen to that garbage?
Having recently rented out a space in Kreuzberg, Brahim and Hamo are currently amassing an impressive and extensive collection of gear for their own studio.
We have this deadly machine called Benson Echo Rec, and you can put stuff through. I'll put it on it now. It makes everything sound really spacey. It's really, really, really rare, and I got it off my dad's friend, who's a wedding singer, and he had one lying around in the house. They cost about $5,000, but we got it for free, luckily enough. It was nice, but it makes everything sound like an old like space movie.
Despite being relative newcomers in an overcrowded market,
when you're looking for jobs and stuff, a lot of the ads have "we don't care that you're a DJ" written in them. Because, I mean, everybody's a DJ here.
Tiernan is in no doubt they made the right choice relocating.
It's the only place we could have got to the point we're at the minute. We definitely couldn't have done this if we were back in Ireland. The main reason is financially as well, because it's just so cheap to live here, so cheap to eat, so cheap to get around. And then, of course, for gigging, you're only like 2 hours away from anywhere in Europe, so getting a flight is really easy.
Affordable rents and a thriving artistic community lure many to the city, while the Berliners' anything-goes spirit also appeals.
The feeling that there's no limits is quite inspiring, that at home, coming from a small town, you're very self-conscious and very aware of what other people think. And then you come here and everybody's just doing what they want. No one's judging anyone. And I think to be surrounded by that 24/7 is just enabling you to do what you want and not really care for what other people think.
You can say in the city, "I am a musician with a straight face." And I feel like you can't say that in Belfast, or certainly I never would have said it in Belfast. I don't feel I would say it in Glasgow. I definitely didn't say it in Seoul, you know, whereas I feel in Berlin, your loves or your passions or even your hobbies are fully vindicated. You know, like I work in a very corporate environment with girls. When you go on their Instagram, it's full of their like aspirational yoga poses, you know? And I think even outside of music, that is very Berlin, a very Berlin thing to just completely own your passion and to really own who you are. Like, you walk out in the streets and there's older ladies walking past with like blue hair and purple hair. And again, I don't think that you get that in every city. So yeah, I think the level of self-expression and the level of self-vindication is incredibly high in Berlin.
Maggie Devlin again there from Party Fears.
Eingefahrener Zug auf Gleis 4, S7 nach Potsdam Hauptbahnhof. Über Friedrichstraße, Berlin Hauptbahnhof.
So, Berlin continues to be a beacon for many musicians. Some stay for a lifetime, others are just passing through. But what influence, if any, does the city have on the songs that are written there?
In April of last year, I moved to Berlin for a while, about 6 or 7 months or so. And I had a lot of time to think about my feelings. And what do you know? I wrote a song about them.
Miles away, the man who could no longer stay.
Fresh off the back of a number one selling album in 2013, Mick Flannery felt it was time for a change of scenery.
Yeah, possibly just new experience, I guess. I'd been knocking around the same places in Cork. When you're writing songs and stuff, it can occur to you that you need to have fresh experience in order to glean more inspiration or whatever. So you kind of deliberately change your life a little bit here and there, trying to shake myself up a bit. It sounds pretentious to say that you're trying to discover yourself, or what's the one, the self-imposed exile.
There come a time you think so far that you cannot get back home.
In honesty, that was kind of what it was. You know, the more time you spend alone with yourself, the better you get to know yourself. You know how much of that you can handle after a while without cracking up a little bit. At times, I guess I was feeling sorry for myself because I was a bit lonely, but looking back, it was lovely. And I got a good few songs out of that kind of isolation.
Most of those songs were written in an old, unfurnished Berlin apartment with big open rooms, mattress on the floor, and keyboard in the corner.
The place looked kind of lonely, but it was very good for singing because the acoustics were good. You got like a natural reverb, it made you feel good about yourself. So I was hollering away all day long.
Mick's decision to escape the creature comforts of Cork proved to be a good one, as those Berlin songs would go on to inspire his career best album to date, By the Rule.
Music came up from below, through the bedroom soft and slow, to your lips and to a smile, strange and out of style, on the morning that you chose to cut me loose.
There's a couple of songs that might bring me back to that room, alright. There's one called Even Now. I remember writing that there and kind of being proud of it. And then there's one called Living Hope, and the first line is, I walk the streets alone here. And that was fairly common experience. So that kind of puts me back into the, you know, I used to spend a good part of the day just walking around, like seeing new places, you know, discovering new pubs.
I walk the streets alone, here I go with head hung down. The heavens laugh so hard at me that I cannot bear the sound. I'm home to every lonely.
I've been reading some Bertrand Russell and watching some of his interviews on the internet. That song robs a line from him. He was asked by the BBC, if you had any message to the future, what would it be? And one of his answers was,
I should say, love is wise, hatred is foolish.
So I stole that bit off him.
To the thought I will abide, that hate is foolish, love is wise, words the old man softly spoke, left the world to live in hope.
I think nobody should be certain of anything. If you're certain, you're certainly wrong, because nothing deserves certainty.
Another Irish singer-songwriter who has written some of our best work in a Berlin apartment is Wallace Bird.
Would you like another drop of coffee before I continue? No, yeah? Okay.
However, these are not songs for the lonely heart, more a celebration of domestic bliss. For her fifth album, Wallace decided to write and record the whole thing in the place she shares with her partner, guitars and drum kit.
During the day is the only time I can play it, actually. Like, I have to stop playing it at 10:30 p.m. But I don't even do that. I don't push it. I think that's a bit too much.
It's no surprise Wallace decided to call the album Home.
The sun is slowly setting in.
Yeah, everything was done here. I wrote sitting around various spaces in the house and just recorded as I went along. I set up microphones at home and next to the bed. If I'd wake up in the middle of the night, I'd have an idea and just like roll out of bed and record. And the trick was to have every single instrument and every single recording device available to me at hand, at really quick, just one click on kind of thing, as with as much ease as possible. You know, you hear a spill off the street, but I love that. It's just life, isn't it? Yeah. It's my music living my life, really. There's a song I wrote called Home, which is an a cappella tune. And it's about the moment that I met Tracy in this house. So we met in this house at a house party. This place used to belong to my manager, Peters. And he had a football party. We were watching the World Cup. And Tracy walked in the room, into the kitchen.
And I was sitting at the radiator in the kitchen, and I just remember looking at her and seeing that, you know, cliche of stars and soft focus around her. So we moved in here a couple of years later, and I decided to record the song about meeting her for the first time. I recorded it in the exact spot where I was sitting, where I watched her walk into the room. So you can hear that on the record. You can hear my voice reflecting off the walls, and you know, I guess you can hear my voice being projected to the most cathartic song, the most strongest moment that ever happened in my life, life-changing moment. Yeah, you can hear me singing straight into it.
All I ever wanted was to settle down and marry, laugh and love and hopefully have a child. Have our family surround us, friendships that never die. Well, we can try, we can try, we can try.
A talented songwriter for sure, but Wallace is also a star performer on stage, never afraid to share some stories or crack a few jokes.
Yesterday I was telling stories so much that people were like, yeah, does she actually play music?
So it's no surprise to hear some of our Berlin shows have been a little different.
I played a 12-hour gig here 2 years ago in a cellar that fits about 250 people.
This one is called You Are Mine.
That was one of the best gigs I've ever played in my entire life. It was just relentless, and they wouldn't let me leave, you know. We were all in this confined cellar space, and I couldn't walk past people, so you just have to constantly play, which was what I wanted. Yeah, so that was a proper marathon Berliner experience for me musically.
After years gigging around the city, Wallace has got a handle on what the locals are looking for on a night out.
A normal Berliner audience is very much like, would petrify you because they listen really hard. So you have to kind of be comfortable with what you're saying and be, you know, you have to say it right, or, you know, people read through it and lose interest really quickly. Like, they understand what's real and what's not. Sometimes I wish that they would be a little bit more open to losing themselves in the music. Sometimes it takes you a long time to warm a Berliner up. But at the same time, I'm glad for that, because there's not a fake warmness, you know, and you just have to, you have to be good, and you have to entertain, and you have to ask them to warm up. You have to be in there with them together, which is really good for the soul. I think you shouldn't be offered too much.
Thank you very much. Shanabna.
Another member of the Irish community in Berlin is Kiva McAllister, and she's enjoyed a few fun nights out with Wallace.
I first met Wallace at a party in another friend's house, who's also a singer, and we ended up really kind of in a room full of pretty bemused people singing a load of Mary Black songs. Which obviously all of these people from sort of Germany and South Africa never... We're not really very clear on what was going on at all, but we had a great time.
Kiva's been living in Berlin since.
Actually, I just realized it's exactly to the day 8 years ago that I came in a car from Paris.
She moved to start a job with local label City Slang, getting to work with acts like Silvanesso.
I think my boss saw them at South by Southwest and came back with a demo. I was like, oh, there's this really great band. And then we signed them. We all went to see them. And we were all kind of completely besotted with them.
True.
Now they're kind of on the soundtracks of all of these American TV shows, and they're really doing well, which they totally deserve.
An active member of the city's DIY music community, Kiva is one of the co-creators of We Make Waves, a music festival that launched in Berlin last November with the aim to question, disrupt and change the power dynamics of the music industry.
It's a festival and conference for women, trans and non-binary people in the music industry. And for whatever reason, women, trans and non-binary people are like massively underrepresented, especially people with like non-gender conforming identities, hugely underrepresented in a way that I think all of us are so, we're so used to it that we don't even notice. You know, when you see these like their studies, like Female Pressure is a one group in Berlin of like electronic musicians who recently released a study which shows that approximately 80% of bands in festivals in Europe that they have studied, and they studied hundreds of festivals, are all male. you know. So it's like, it's really, it's huge. It's not, you know, it's not like sort of 56, 44, you know, it's, there are these huge disparities and very unequal access to opportunities. And so that's something that we kind of tried to address with this festival, but we also just wanted to like create a really great, fun event that showcases, that kind of showcases all of the female trans and non-binary talent that we know to exist in a way that makes it more difficult for people to argue that it doesn't.
And true to Berlin form, Kiva and Co. knew they could bank on that collaborative spirit to get the festival up and running.
If you have something that people care about, you can always find people, even if you have no money. I mean, it sounds terrible. And obviously the ideal is to get to a point where you have money to pay everyone who does any work for you, but which is the reason why people are kind of investing their time in these projects so that they can get to that stage. But yeah, if people care about what you're doing, you can find a lot of support in Berlin. People are really, really on board.
Kiva also teaches music business at BIM Berlin, so is well placed to see what the city can offer musicians compared to other places she's lived in, like Paris.
Paris had all of the benefits of a capital city, like, you know, museums and international touring artists and just basically everything you could expect to get in a capital city without any of the like grittiness or like youth culture, or, you know, just even just the sort of history of conflict that then leads to this sort of punk spirit that was something that I really missed in Paris. And it's true, like Berlin still has that, and it has this very accepting atmosphere where you feel that you could sort of get away with being anything you wanted to be and people wouldn't really mind. Nobody would really pay you any attention, which I think is very freeing. I can imagine is especially very freeing for people coming from places where they feel under a lot of pressure to be a certain way or succeed in a certain field. Or, you know, you can sort of come to Berlin and not do very much for 6 months but still feel like you've achieved something. I'm not sure if that sounds as positive as I meant it to.
As discussed earlier, Bowie's LA to Berlin switch over 40 years ago turned the city into the must-go destination for bands looking to rip everything up and start again. Carlos singer-songwriter Sarah O'Gorman was very much following in Bowie's footsteps earlier this year when she traded the West Coast sunshine for the bleak German winter.
Clouds over congested cities, spread our humor.
There's a vision of greyness and the totality of greyness, and it's the aesthetic of the city, like the visual aesthetic of the city, that I think has most affected me. The sheer vastness and the numbers of people and the crowdedness, all of that's in my mind when I think of it.
After spells living in London, Amsterdam, and most recently LA, Sarah was still acclimatizing to Berlin's notoriously long and harsh winters when I chatted to her. But being stuck indoors does have its advantages.
If I think of somewhere like LA, that's very, it's very open and an expansive feeling, and you write in a certain way. But I think here, especially, that the weather is so bad a lot, and you spend a lot of time inside. And then being myself, I'm an introvert. And so it does, you really do need, it develops your imagination, because in some ways you need it to, in those long winter months. I think that it's, you know, integral to your survival to have a strong imagination.
She is the wind, he is the tree, she's a swimmer, he is the sea.
There's a cutting edge to the culture here, that in something can be created that wasn't perhaps there. You know, you might be in this scene. And then it's like just sort of self-fulfilling, and after that, like, it becomes, now they keep coming and more that happens, and then that becomes the dynamic of the city. But then I guess people are saying it's already starting to move now, that it's starting to become too commercial and it's becoming more expensive, and actually all the cool people have moved somewhere in Portugal. You know what I mean? Like, that will be the next place. But for now, it's still here, and it's amazing.
Whether Berlin can retain its artistic edge remains to be seen. The much talked about affordable living, alternative culture and anything goes attitude are all under threat from a force that has proved unstoppable in other creative centres around the world.
Let's talk about the G word.
Gentrification.
We're talking about gentrification.
It's no surprise that Berlin is reinventing itself, this time as a modern European capital. While investment is good, Berliners are now asking how much is too much. As money pours in, subcultures become commercialized, alternative scenes get pushed to the margins, and the very spirit that helped rebuild the city is getting stamped out in certain neighborhoods. The locals are fighting back. Determined to preserve the city's diverse cultural and social mix, local authorities have been forced to introduce measures such as rent caps to stem the tide. In many ways, the city's grassroots culture has become a victim of its own success. But Paul Hockenos, who has witnessed many changes in his adopted hometown since he first arrived in 1985, is confident Berlin will continue to be a haven for artists.
I definitely do. I mean, I think that Berlin has long been a place where rebels and free spirits and artists and people of different of sexual diversity have felt at home and have felt inspired. And I think those currents go way back, and I think that they're strong. I think that they're powerful. I think you still feel them in Berlin today. It's certainly the case that there are some places, the actual locations that had, you know, been the most creative in the 80s and 90s in West Berlin and then here in the eastern side, you know, they are no longer the places where it's happening. But Berlin is a city that, you know, it's five times as big as Paris, with just a fraction of the population. So the creative scenes and the club scenes, they've moved out a little bit more towards the outer periphery of where the subway runs. And so they've moved into other districts. You can, just with a 10-minute ride on the S-Bahn, you can get to places where huge industrial buildings house, you know, over 100 artist studios. They're affordable, there's still space. It's just, it's moved a little bit. I think that over the years, you know, Berlin has reinvented itself many times, and it's survived much worse than gentrification and been able to reinvent itself again. So I think that it will, but of course it depends on the people who come here and the ideas that they bring with them. I sometimes talk with people who say, ah, is Berlin over now? Is it still, you know, have I missed something? You know, you have to come to Berlin with something. You have to come with a good idea and a crowbar in hand, and then you can make it happen. And it's still a place where creative people can make something happen.
So there you have it. Berlin, a space to invent, create, and inspire. For decades, the starkest symbol of the Cold War split the city in two. The locals' response was to transform it into the world's biggest art gallery. That DIY spirit is still very much Berlin, and after spending a few days with just some of the Irish musicians living in the city, it's clear this is a place that continues to fire the imagination. Thanks to the musicians for their time and to you for your company. I'm Carl Funge, and we'll leave you with a few final words from the Berlin Irish.
Favourite thing about Berlin? The space. I love the space. You feel kind of free.
There is a heat in Berlin of all of these different people from all different places in the world, and you're all kind of DIY weirdo exiles, and so I think the pressure and the heat of Berlin applied makes for some very interesting chemistry that maybe doesn't happen everywhere else.
It's just constantly fresh and new, and it never stops. It's relentless, yeah. It's great.
Thank you, Berlin, for providing us with a great groove. There is a